Well, this evening we come to one of the most profound and most deep concepts in all the scriptures, the concept of the kingdom of God. The concept of the kingdom of God. It is a concept the Old Testament powerfully illustrates through the marvelous calling of the people out of Israel, people out of Egypt into Israel. The promising of a king for the people, even in the midst of their sin and asking for one. Being given a king after their pleasing, Saul, and then being given a king, David, of whom we considered this morning, who was a king after his own heart. Then the marvelous imagery of the kingdom throughout the Old Testament. All the glories of Solomon and all the glories of Israel. Then tarnished, destroyed by civil war, swept away in judgment, returned and reestablished in the promise of the king that would be greater than David after the line of Jesse. And then in the New Testament, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great king, comes. And the language used of him and of his kingdom is glorious, continues to challenge scholars from all different backgrounds and approaches in Scripture. But we find in that concept of kingdom that our Lord Jesus gives us to pray the marvelous, beautiful truth of the gospel, going forward and convicting and converting sinners. Well, our theme or title is Praying Thy Kingdom Come. We hope to see the significance of praying that as we consider the presence of that petition in relationship to the other parts of the prayer thus far. We hope to see praying thy kingdom come in connection to the king himself. And thirdly, we hope to see the importance of praying thy kingdom come to his true subjects. Well, we can only begin this evening to consider that great subject of the kingdom of God. And what a blessed thing it is we find our Lord Jesus himself showing it as a priority to us in this model prayer. As we've considered previously, this model prayer as he gives us in Matthew chapter 6, but also that model prayer as we considered in Luke 11, as a disciple of his looked and saw him praying and said, teach us to pray. And whether we consider it the model prayer given to us this way, or as it were by faith, the model prayer of our own asking, it so beautifully fit our needs. The preface, as we considered previously, being the foundation of this prayer that immediately reveals to us the character of God and how we should think about prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, the one who cares for us and loves us, so that we would be excited immediately in prayer to recognize Him, His authority, His power, but also His care as a Father. And we saw previously how that should inform how we come unto Him, and we should come unto Him freely, like a child does a father. But our Father which art in heaven, the second part of that glorious preface, our Father who we can come to, who is in heaven, who is beyond us in every way, who can provide for our every need, and will do so for Jesus' sake. Our Father which art in heaven, that glorious beginning, the perfect foundation to prayer, and then the first petition, the first thing we ask, the first thing we ask in prayer, hallowed be thy name. We ask for the Lord's name to be set apart, that the Lord's name be above all things and everything in the world and to us, that His name would be the greatest, that He would glorify His own name through orchestrating and using all things in world history and all things in our life, and that we, to the best of our ability by His grace, would seek to see His name set apart in our words, in our actions, at work, in our family, and in the world around us. And so, our Lord Jesus, that master builder, continues in this marvelous prayer to give us a second petition. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Notice how it builds to come into the presence of the Father in confidence that He will hear and answer prayer. To say and delight to have God's name lifted up above all. And as He is lifted up and throned in the place He should be above all, we ask His kingdom, His mighty rule to roll out before us and before Him. That His dominion grow and increase more and more and more as fitting He who is hallowed. Is that how you pray? Being encouraged by the preface, beginning your prayer, following it generally, that the Lord be exalted above all, and as the greatest exalted above all, His rule would expand. As we saw previously, that frames our hearts for prayer too. There are times we freely pour out our needs as our tears come down, as we are in the midst of a great strait, or some particular need of ourselves or another is impressed upon our hearts. So we bring up a prayer to God of intercession. But there should be times, like when the Lord Jesus says, when you go into your closet and pray in secret, in the context of the giving of this prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, that when you go in secret to pray by yourself, that you understand who you're approaching, that you focus on the exaltation of His name and you want His kingdom to come. And that then, as you ask His will to be done, will frame your petitions. Notice how it flows from approaching to Him as a fatherly God who has all power to accomplish the needs of His children. They lift up His name, ask for His rule, and ask for His will to be done. First and foremost, not theirs. And then ask, give us this day our daily bread. We will, Lord willing, have opportunity to consider the connections of the following petitions. But note how beautifully the Lord Jesus transitions it. Comforting us, exalting His Father, and is indeed with His Father ultimately Himself. And His kingdom, His rule. Are our prayers, particularly when we are in private, focused on the rule and kingdom of God? In secret, do we pray for evangelism and the advancement of the gospel? Not just at prayer meetings, not just remembering certain missionaries from time to time as we should, but for the kingdom to come. See, all too often, our concept of the kingdom is radically too small. We think of our own church, our own congregation, our own denomination. And that is right. We are a manifestation of the kingdom. But that kingdom is worldwide and is connected to the gospel. And we should be praying for its growth, its establishment, its deepening, and its broadening. Asking for that kingdom to come more and more. But what particularly are we praying for? We've seen what role this petition has in the model prayer and in our prayer life just briefly. But what is it practically we're praying for? What is it we are asking for? Well, three things, as it's been summarized by others. First, we are asking for His rule to grow. That the rule of Christ to grow, the rule of the Father to grow. We'll see a bit further in the course of our message what's the connection between the kingship of the Father, here evident in the Lord's Prayer, but also the kingship of Christ. But that His rule would grow. But maybe that sounds a little odd to you. The rule of God grow? How can the rule of God grow? God made the heavens and the earth. Any physical laws that we understand is because He put in place. He is beyond the stars. He is beyond the depths of the ocean. He is the architect of all existence. Everything is upheld by His power. We can't take even a breath without the power of God to do it. How can His dominion, His kingdom, His rule grow? Isn't the rule of God completely absolute? And the answer is yes, without a doubt. But we're not talking about a kingdom of all things existing, of God being the creator and we being the creature. We're talking, particularly in this petition, as is so evident throughout the whole of the Scriptures, the rule of the Lord in calling sinners to follow Him. Adam, as it were, set himself up as his own king. And we decided that we would rule ourselves and not submit to his authority anymore. We would not submit to what he said was right and wrong. We would make it up ourselves. And that would be as foolish, boys and girls, as if you were to tell your mom and dad, you're going to make the rules. You might say, well, why is that so foolish? I think I could make better rules than my mom and dad. Because you don't know how to rule a household. You don't know how to get the money, and you can't get the money. You don't know how to buy the food and provide for what's necessary. You can't discipline your brothers or your sisters or your mom or your dad because you're still learning what's right and what's wrong. Just as unworkable as that situation is, so much more and so much more evil is it when a creature like Adam and Eve and all of us try and tell God, no, we'll be king. We'll be in charge. This is not about the rule of the physical laws of the universe or His universal dominion, but of His kingdom of grace, of His redeeming sinners to Himself. That's what we pray for when the kingdom comes. That men and women, boys and girls, who are in rebellion against God and serve themselves or an idol, by the grace of God, would throw their idols away. And like we considered this morning with King David, simply